You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate, where NFL legends live on, with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lasseri. Available on TuneIn and Podbean. Now, back to Chris and Bob.
Just listen. All right, we've got our next guest, Andy Russell, hanging on the line. Before we get to Andy, I want to give a shout-out to our friends over at the Gridiron Greats organization. You know, folks, please help support a wonderful cause that is taking care of so many of the guys who literally left so much of themselves out on the playing field. Remember, folks, these are the guys that played back, you know, when they still had to get off-season jobs to support themselves and their families. It's organizations like this one that was started by Mike Ditka, the Gridiron Greats, who are trying to help the guys we all grew up watching and reading about. Please go to gridirongreats.org to see what you can do to help get involved. All right, we'll get to Andy Russell on the other side of this quick station break.
You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate, where NFL legends live on, with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lasseri. Available on TuneIn and Podbean. Now, back to Chris and Bob.
Just listen.
Now back with us and making his ninth appearance on the Kyven Foods guest line is Steelers legend and TNT Hall of Famer, Andy Russell. Andy is one of the players who, you know, in our opinion, just doesn't get enough credit for the role that he played helping the Steelers, you know, go from perennial losers to becoming the team of the 1970s. He was one of only five players to be a part of the pre-Chuck Knoll era that Chuck kept. And, you know, Andy obviously making an appearance in both the first two Super Bowl championship teams that the Steelers had. Let me give you a little bit more background on Andy. He's from Detroit, Michigan. Played his college ball at the University of Missouri, where he earned his degree in economics. He was a 16th round draft pick in 1963. He was a 7-time Pro Bowler. He received the Byron Wizard White Award in 1970, which honors the NFL player who best served his team, his community, and his country. He was the team's defensive MVP in 1968 and 1970, and the Steelers' overall MVP in 1971. Like I mentioned, he was a member of the Steelers' Super Bowl championship teams in Super Bowl IX and Super Bowl X. He was elected to the Pittsburgh Pro Football Hall of Fame back in 2013. And to further remind you about how good Andy was, our friends, you know, at Topps had a series of insert football cards in their 1971 set. And when you collected all of those insert cards, you had a little football game you could play. And when you drew the Andy Russell card, it was a 15-yard loss. Andy has been a wonderful friend of the show. We are so privileged to have him in our Thursday Night Tailgate Hall of Fame and back with us tonight here on the show. Good evening, Andy, Chris, and Bob here. Thanks for coming back and joining us tonight.
Welcome back.
Good evening, Chris, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
So, Andy, one of our favorite stories that you've shared with Bob and I over the years, and one I'd like for you to share for the folks who haven't heard it before, is the one about Chuck Knoll first meeting the team when he became head coach and his assessment of the talent that he had on the roster.
Yeah, because we were really bad in the early 60s through the 60s with Buddy Parker as our coach. Buddy Parker, his thing was, you know, I hate rookies, so I'm going to get rid of most of you. But then when I came back from the military, we were just terrible, 65, 66, and we couldn't win a game. And then all of a sudden, we have this new coach named Chuck Knoll. And he, his first speech, he says, you know, I've been watching the game film since I took the job. And I can tell you guys why you're losing. And we're all, you could have heard a pin drop in the room because everybody, you know, we cared. We wanted to win. And we didn't know why we were losing. And he said, the reason you've been losing is you're not any good.
Andy, I read an old article on ESPN.com that said that the plays that you guys called in the defensive huddle were almost irrelevant because the linebackers and the defensive backs would switch to a different defense based on the formation that you guys saw that the offense would come out and set up in. And what made it unique and amazing to me is you guys all had to recognize the same thing and switch to the same defense because nobody said, you know, yelled anything out. Nobody called anything out and that sort of thing. Is that accurate? Were you guys all on that tight of the same page that you guys could recognize what you needed to do, switch to it, and nobody had to make any calls, you know, while you were standing there?
No, exactly, because our defensive coach did not want us to tip off because we yell out a defense. And if you yell out a defense, then the quarterback could make a change and so forth. So we had to know exactly what was going to be changed. If we if they came out in a I formation, that was, it might be two or three different plays. They came out in a just a square, you know, different plays, and then there were just all these reasons why we would make the changes for the best defense against the, that particular offense that they like to run.
Bob, questions for Andy?
Great to speak with you again, Andy. And back to the time where you're drafted in the 16th round out of Missouri, Andy, I was wondering if anybody from the pro personnel office talked to you before you got to training camp saying you need to work on this, or did you come to training camp knowing what you needed to work on, Andy?
Well, you know, I didn't anticipate being drafted by an NFL team because in those days there were 12 teams in the NFL, and they sent I got 12, you know, questionnaires, and the first question was, are you interested in playing pro football? And because I had promised my father, who was a corporate executive in Monsanto and on the other side of the world, I had said I would not play. So I wrote, when their question was, are you interested in playing pro football, which was the first question they asked, I said no. So the only team in the NFL that didn't send me one of those was the Steelers. And the reason, that was because Buddy Parker hated rookies. And I was the luckiest guy in the world because, you know, I get drafted by in the 60s round. They had no clue that I was going to play. And it was a great experience. And all of a sudden, you know, I got to start as a rookie. And I made the All-Pro rookie team. But then I had 2 years in the military in Germany. But that was a good thing, too. So I enjoyed that experience as well.
Andy, because you played in a time when there was no free agency, you were either, you know, on the team, cut, or traded. How did you guys go about trying to get a raise, get more money, you know, during a time when, you know, you were either one of those three things? How did you guys get raises?
Well, I was told that I was because I was the Steeler coach, the captain, that I could negotiate my contract with the chief. That was Mr. Rooney, Art Rooney Sr., who started the Steelers. And I went in, and I can remember going into this, and I knew I deserved some more money. You know, I was making $12,000 my rookie year. I made the All-Pro team, and when I got back from the military, they finally gave me $14,000. And then I made the All-Pro the Pro Bowl team, and they gave me, you know, $20,000. So, you know, it was interesting because that they were really tough. The negotiations were strong, and I remember sitting down with Mr. Rooney and saying, "Sir, do you think I deserved to go last year to the Pro Bowl?" And he said, "Absolutely, you should have gone the year before." And I said, "Well, why then did all these other linebackers, you know, all the famous linebackers, Sam Huff and guys like that. Why do they make so much money? You know, they're making, because I had to go out, you know, and have a few drinks with those guys, and they'd ask me, what's your salary? And I told them it was like $20,000. They were all 60, 65, 70, you know, that kind of thing. And so I asked Mr. Rooney, why is it then that I don't get paid comparable to these other Pro Bowl players? He said, "Well, Andy, if we can't be held responsible for the stupidity of those other owners."
And Andy, since there wasn't a lot of turnover on the Steelers roster, particularly amongst the starters, and you know the Steelers drafted so well, during the 70s. Plus, you had consistency on the coaching staff from year to year. Was it easier for you guys to be on the same page and instinctively know what each other was going to do because of, you know, you guys got to stick around and play with each other and under the same coaching staff and philosophies for so many years?
Oh, yeah. I think it was a very powerful way that we handled all that, understanding the game and analyzing what we should do at all these different occasions. It was absolutely perfect, and we played better and better over those years. And then all of a sudden, the Steelers started drafting really good players. You know, we would have guys like Stallworth, Lynn Swann, Jack Lambert, Jack Ham. You know, we just had all these wonderful players coming in that made us a really decent player, a decent team.
Andy, you've talked in the past how you. What's that?
No, I didn't mention Bradshaw, Franco Harris, and I was just talking about, you know, some of the guys you might not think about.
No, absolutely. And like I say, Andy, you've talked about in the past how, you know, you were already an all-pro player when Chuck took over the team, and he told you that he could make you even better. Down to small details, like he wanted you to move your foot, you know, 2 inches further back. Talk about the technical things that he taught you guys, and how many different positions did Chuck Knoll, you know about and able to coach you guys on?
Well, he had been a linebacker at, I think, the Cleveland Browns, and so he understood a lot more about linebacking than I did at the time. And he put me right across from a big tight end who was 6'4", 245, you know. And he says, "Now I want you to open your I want you to move your right foot 3 inches wider, and then you'll be able to take him on better." And I was like, "What? If that's going to help me take this guy on, who's 245 pounds?" And I remember asking him, "You really think that's going to help?" And he said, "Yeah, it will. Trust me." And he was that kind of guy because his mantra was success is in the details. And, you know, he nailed it because everything he did was all this information about, you know, exactly what the opponent was going to do. And, you know, if you know what they're going to do, it's pretty easy to stop them.
Andy, before we let you go, remind our listeners about, you know, what you're doing now. And, you know, we've talked in the past, and you've written, you know, a couple of books, and you've teased us, you know, with a potential for a fourth book coming out. What's the status of your books, and what are you doing now?
Well, my fourth book may be coming out. It's going to be a while, and it's going to be called something about our stupidity. doing all these various investment deals. But we my partner and I, all around the world, dozens of times. I think I've been around the world at least 20 times. And we found investors in South Africa and Hong Kong and Singapore and Bangkok, all over the world. And so that, I'm now retired from that. But you know, it's still a great city to live in, and I still stay in Pittsburgh, and I love the place. So, you know, I'll be there for a while. Right now, I'm out in Colorado, hiking and climbing and that sort of thing. After football, I got into something called the 54 14ers. There's 54 mountains in Colorado that are 14,000 feet high. Or not 15, but 14. And, you know, to give you some perspective, some guy last year did it in 9 straight days. It took me,
wow.
Took me 23 years.
Well, Andy, it's always a privilege for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. Thank you so much for your support over the years and for joining us as many times as you have. We can't thank you enough. All the best to you and your family. We hope you'll come back and join us again here real soon.
Well, I will. I'd like to do that. That'd be fun. Thanks.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. Take care. All the best to you and your family. That is Steelers legend Andy Russell. And Bob, you know, like, ninth time on the show. He's a TNT Hall of Famer and shared so many great stories with us over the years. It's always a thrill for me, and I'm sure for you, to get to spend some time with Andy.
It is, Chris, and we've talked ad nauseum in the past about how a guy like that, being around the great players he was and the great coaches, probably didn't get his due, but this guy was, for 14 years, incredibly durable, did not get the credit he deserved, although a seven-time Pro Bowler or whatever it was, Chris. I mean, his resume is incredible, but I always think of Andy Russell, and I said, this guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But it's one of those deals where sometimes you're a victim of your success, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, and to your point, and I mean, you just expand on that just for a second, you know, there's so many of, you know, his teammates, right, got into the Hall of Fame. I think that is what holds, you know, not only Andy Russell back, but, you know, certainly we have a soft spot in our hearts for L.C. Greenwood. God rest his soul, was so wonderful to us, you know, back when we were starting out on the show and joining us. And you think those two guys, how are those two guys not in the Hall of Fame? And I think it's because so many of the other Steelers got in the Hall of Fame that the numbers, if you will, I think the Hall of Fame looked at it like, we can't have a whole Steelers wing here. So we're not going to, you know, put those guys in. I think it's a shame because both LC and Andy are certainly deserving of being in there.
True.